In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. We had a really successful fiesta. Thank you so much for that. It was a lot of work and a lot of difficulty that each of us here in the parish worked hard for. And thank you for that. Did you know that today, or rather tomorrow, is actually when the Feast of St. Rose of Lima was held for up until the calendar was changed? So it's kind of like we get to celebrate it twice, in a sense, both on Sundays. Maybe ask me some other time and I'll tell you exactly why that is, that it was celebrated, why the calendar was changed in such a way, or why her date was on a different day than she actually died at another time. But thank you so much for all the support that you've given, all those of you who work tirelessly as the captains, all those of you who went to our meetings every single month and more often to make sure that we had it and dealt with all the craziness of this affliction that changed everything for it and made it such a great success. We definitely paid for what it is that we needed to, as with regard to our insurance situation and all the missions that we had, but also even beyond that, and we're almost to the very same level as we would have hoped to have been after expenses, even though we did so much less. That's a testament to what God is doing in you, your thankfulness for what God continues to do, and thank you for that, each of you who did it. Please continue to support whatever it is that our Lord has put upon your heart with your parish, and especially with the great works that God is doing here within the Archdiocese and beyond. You truly are an inspiring testament to what can be done. We're not rich in material things. We're very rich in spiritual things. And your thankfulness is a reason why we have, as Father Michael Nimchek came to us this weekend, actually a few hours ago, to visit us from Clovis and said, "This really is the most beautiful church in the whole of the Archdiocese." His words, not mine. And that's a testament to you. Let's see what our Lord has to say to us in these profound readings. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform yourselves to this present age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." When a couple comes to us for preparation for marriage, we give them all sorts of advice to remind them that the elation which they're experiencing right now as a young couple excited to enter into the sacrament, it's going to be tested. It's going to get harder. Usually what happens is they smile, look at each other, and exchange glances and say, "Oh yeah, for everybody else it's going to be hard, Father, but you know, we're not going to have that because we're really in love." Famous last words, right? The same thing happens when a young man enters a seminary, or a young woman enters the convent in a way, or a young man, the same thing, the monastery, when they're entering into that vocation. What they do is they first have this holy heroism that they want to serve God with the whole of their hearts. They say, "God has called me, so I can endure anything. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to be able to make it through because the call of God is strong enough." But eventually what happens is that romantic dreams of sainthood are finally put to the test when they're wounded by a superior or who's acting in a less than saintly manner. It always happens. Even with our RCIA thing, RCIA program, those who come in to be converted into our Catholic faith, they experience the same sort of difficulties. Our goal is to prepare them, what? To say, "Hey, look, this is great that God's calling you and you're answering it, but there are times when the devil is going to come and to steal your joy and give you discouragement and fear." They usually nod, but the warnings that we give them don't register to them. And then when that first spiritual trial comes, that desolation happens, it's removed from them the graces that they formerly relied upon, and they want to go back to their former way. What's the common denominator of all these situations? It's a belief in overconfidence, a belief that the world should work according to their own ideas, that we know better than God does. And when things don't go according to our plan, we become angry because his ways are not our ways, and he should get together with the plan that we have. Prophet Jeremiah, St. Peter, in today's readings, they're examples for us of disappointment, of the disappointment when God's ways don't go along with what our ways are, God's ideas when they're not our ideas. Prophet Jeremiah, it's one of my favorite readings. What does it say? It says, "Oh God, you duped me, and I let myself be duped." When we hear those words, they don't make sense because they're out of context. Got to go back to the first chapter to find out what it is. That's where we hear the conversation between St. Jeremiah and God at the very beginning of his call. Chapter 1 says this. It basically goes like this. God turns to Jeremiah and he says, "Jeremiah, I called you and I've appointed you. I've designated you as a prophet even before you were in your mother's womb. I called you." When Jeremiah hears these words, he tries to talk his way out of the call with God. And he says, "God, look, I'm too young. I can't do it." And God retorts and says, "Don't say that you're too young." And he proceeds to do what? He then does what? He puts his own words in the mouth of Jeremiah. And he tells him who he's going to be confronting in life. He tells him what it is exactly that he's going to proclaim to the people. And then he gave this encouragement. This is verse 17 and following, if you're trying to remember for Scripture. This is what our Lord says. He says, "Prepare yourself. Stand firm and tell them all that I command you. Do not be terrified on account of them, or I will terrify you before them. For I am the one who today makes you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of bronze against the whole of the land, against Judah's kings and princes, its priests and its people. They will fight against you, but over you they will not prevail, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Here's the reason why Jeremiah felt duped, why he allowed himself to be duped. He heard those words at the very end that God said, "I am with you to deliver you." But he forgot about the word that came right before that. They will fight against you. They will fight. fight against you. In other words, he's saying, you're going to be in a battle. Be prepared. Be ready. Jeremiah was assured of victory. He accepted the call, but he resented God because of the struggle that he had to do to get to that victory. God didn't sugarcoat the call in any way in his mission. He said from the very beginning, look, Jeremiah, you're going to suffer greatly. Only later did Jeremiah see the effectiveness of his mission came from exactly what he suffered in his life. He didn't just call him to save him, but God wanted to form him in order to be a great prophet through those very same struggles which he resented and thought he was duped into from the beginning. We see this fact today when Jeremiah says this. The next passage, he says, I say to myself, I will not mention God. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned within my bones, and I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. So think about this. If Jeremiah still fell into discouragement after hearing directly from God, then we shouldn't be surprised when the newly married, when the seminarian, when the young religious sister, when the RCIA convert begins doubting their vocation and begin to say, well, my spouse, my church, my God has let me down, so I'm ready to throw in the towel. This isn't just the experience that you and I have within our lives. The saints had it too. For example, here, think of St. John Vianney, the great patron saint of priests. He was very mentally weak. He wasn't academically talented in so many ways. He was older when he finally was able to realize his vocation. And because of this, he was only ordained due to a couple really good people who saw the holiness that lay within this man. But they also saw all the weaknesses and the struggles that he was going to have to go through. But they said, we think he's still called. We think he's still called. So when Father Vianney was finally made, after many years, the pastor of this little tiny backwoods called Ars, his first and only parish in his whole life, he knew that he was in way over his head with the difficulty that was there, and yet his love for God and for his people transformed him into a priest so holy, so inspiring, that he is now the patron saint of all parish priests. He faced struggles, hard struggles. His parishioners constantly made up lies about him. They constantly were writing the bishop all the time, every week, about him. They circulated a petition around the entirety of the community just to get him removed and kicked out of their place, which, by the way, he signed himself. The devil himself even came and directly attacked and assaulted him relentlessly throughout his whole life. It was so bad that numerous times this holy saint even tried to flee the parish under cover of darkness, running away so that he could spend the rest of his life just praying in a monastery. He wanted to get out so he could finally become holy. But before he died, these are some words that were recorded that he spoke to the people. He said, if I, upon my arrival at Ars, had seen what I was going to suffer there, I would have died on the spot. He would have died on the spot if he would have seen what kind of sufferings he would endure from the very beginning. Before, in that moment, God is the same way with us. God, if he were to show us exactly what you and I were going to suffer in life at the very beginning, none of us, and there's not a single one of us, who would ever have followed our call and our vocation. We would have never gotten married. We would have never entered into consecrated life. We would have never embarked upon the path of conversion to the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, the only faith that saves. That's why the second reading is important for us today. From the 12th chapter of Romans, I committed it to my heart when I was as young as this young man is right here. What does it say right there? It says, do not conform yourselves to the thinking of this world, but rather be transformed by the very renewal of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect. In other words, what he's saying here is he's saying the wisdom of this world says avoid suffering, avoid sickness at all costs in your life. But God's will is able to transform you so that you can live out your vocation to its very full, so that you can win souls for Christ, so that you can see that giving glory to God the Father through your endurance of suffering, through braving the chances of sickness in life, because you live for something greater than what the worldly wisdom can see. That's what our Lord is calling us to. And in the gospel, our blessed Lord Jesus, he tells his disciples that he will have to suffer. But when Peter hears that, he says, Lord, I will never let that happen to you, not on my watch. And so our Lord, what does he do? He rebukes Peter and he says, get thee behind me, for you are not thinking as God thinks, but rather as men do. You're a stumbling block to me, he says. Now, Peter didn't intend to contravene God's plan. He just loved our blessed Lord far too much as his friend to let any suffering come near him. Isn't that a human reaction? That's a natural thing. We don't want those we love to suffer in any way. But Peter, he just couldn't see God's plan unfolding through the cross and ultimately through the resurrection that was to come. He couldn't see it. And so he became a stumbling block. That is why our blessed Lord Jesus gives the advanced lesson of discipleship right after that. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. Like the selective hearing that the holy prophet St. Jeremiah had, many Catholics, what we do is we hear that first part, we say, yes, God's calling me, follow him. But we gloss over that part that says, first what you have to do is to deny yourself and then take up your cross, because that hurts. But God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on us. His mercy only lets us experience the sufferings, the trials, the setbacks, the battles, those persecutions that come, but only in a way that he knows that we can endure with his help, not alone, but with his help. He warns us of the difficulty from the very beginning of our lives, saying, in this world, you will indeed have trouble. But he also promises victory. He says, because I have overcome the world. He doesn't say that we will overcome it through our own power, but he says, they will fight against you, but over you they will not prevail, for I am with you to deliver you. I want you to listen to what I'm going to conclude with here from some writing here in the second chapter of Sirach, chapter verses 1 through 9. Listen to these words. They're spoken to you, each of us today. It says, "My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. Be sincere of heart and steadfast. Do not be impetuous in time of adversity. Cling to God. Do not leave him that you may prosper in your last days. Accept whatever happens to you. In periods of humiliation, be patient. For in fire, gold is tested, and the chosen, in the crucible of humiliation, trust in God, and he will help you and make your way straight. Hope in him that fear the, you that fear the Lord. Wait for his mercy. Do not stray, lest you fall. You that fear the Lord, trust in him, and your reward will not be lost. You that fear the Lord, hope for good things, for lasting joy, and for mercy." God, he doesn't give you and me all the details of what's going to go on in our lives from the very beginning. Why? Because it would crush us to hear that. We'd never take another step. But what God does is he gives you and me everything it is that we need, but only in the moment when we need it. God's timing is perfect. God's will is perfect. God's love for you and me is perfect. What more do we need than that? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.